Let's go ahead and take our Bibles this morning to the book of Luke once again as we continue on in our series of traveling through Luke. I'm going to go to Luke chapter number 12. Luke chapter number 12. Mr. Greg, I got some type of buzzing going on up here. Luke chapter number 12 today. And I know that the last few weeks I shared with you the God's been dealing with my heart about stewarding our life. And I know as I was studying through Luke chapter number 12, there's a lot of issues when it comes to stewardship. I know last week we talked about stewarding life with the fear of God and talked about the importance of fearing God and not fearing man and the importance of being a good steward. And so that phrase that you see up there on the screen is talks about how life is God's gift to you. What you do with it is your gift to Him. And that's really important. It's key to understand that life is God's gift to you. And I honestly believe that that's what it is. God has given you a gift. He's given you life. And we talked about that a few weeks ago, so we're not going to belabor the point today. But what are you going to do with the life that God's given you? He's given you an opportunity. He's given you a certain number of days, a certain number of months, a certain number of years, and hopefully it's many, many years. But with that gift that God's given you, what exactly are you doing to steward it? And then we looked at that idea of the word steward, and I got a definition up there for you when it talks about steward. It is one who manages the affairs of another. The one who manages the affairs of the other. So I think it's important to get that and understand that, is that every good gift, where does it come from? It comes from above. We looked at that. We understand that everything that's good comes from God. And we even looked at this idea of Christian stewardship. Everything belongs to God. I'm just the manager of it. Everything belongs to God. I'm just a manager of it. And we looked at Christian principles when it came to that. So this morning's lesson and message goes along with our series in the book of Luke, where it talked about covetousness. It talked about here in Luke chapter 12. Look what it says beginning with verse number 15. And he said unto him, take ye heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And this is important, and it's key to realize that God is trying to teach us something and understand something. Your life is so much more than the things that you have and the things that you own. You have a soul that lives inside of you that will live forever someday. And we're going to look at the whole entire story and look at a very familiar passage of scripture and a very familiar parable. But I want you to get this warning that's here that comes says, beware. It says actually, take heed. Take heed. Take notice of this and beware of this because of the fact that covetousness is something that can destroy you. You say, what is the word covetousness? Well, it's an insatiable appetite for worldly possessions. You say, what does the word insatiable mean? It means it's impossible to satisfy. And sometimes in this world and day times, people live their lives for things and for purposes and for reasons of getting possessions more than living for God. So if we look at it from this standpoint and this idea that God Himself is giving us life, and as He has given us life, He wants us to steward it. So if we're going to manage His possessions, you say, what are His possessions? Well, we use the illustration, God's given me children. He's given many of you children. That they're not my children, they're God's children, and I'm supposed to take care of them and raise them and manage them according to the way He has given me direction to. And so as we talk about stewarding life and stewarding the gift of life, let's look at this passage of scripture in Luke chapter number 12. Let's look in verses 13 through 21. The Bible says, and one of the company said unto him, let's remember where we're at. Remember in chapter number 11, the Pharisees came and they really tried to give Jesus a hard time. They tried to trick him up. They even accused him of being casting out demons in the power of the devil. So every time that they tried to hurt him, and every time they tried to trip him up, and every time they tried to cause him problems and afflictions, you know what he did? He would refute them biblically. He would refute them soundly. But then he would use it as a teaching time and an opportunity to teach his disciples something. He's showing them something. He's trying to give them instruction on something. And when it comes to this, he's using this incident also. Now, we don't know this man to be a Pharisee, but we see there's a man that's in the company. He sees in verses 1 through 12, verses he's been teaching his disciples. Last week he looked at those things he was teaching disciples. He talked about, hey, look, you need to fear God. You don't need to fear man. Remember, fear him that can kill the body and the soul, not just the body. And then here he continues on teaching, but he's interrupted. He says, and one of the company said unto him, Master, he calls him Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. He interrupts Jesus from his teaching. He says, look, hey, can you help me with something? Can you go ahead and talk to my brother because of the fact he's not dividing the inheritance the way he's supposed to? Verse number 14, there's a little bit of an interesting response. We would think that Jesus would stop here and take time and say, okay, you know what the law says, blah, blah, blah. But Jesus knows this man's heart. Jesus knows what this man needs to hear. Look what he says in verse number 14. And he said unto him, man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? He was saying that that was not his responsibility. That was not the reason why he came to this world. That is not the reason why he came to this earth. He did not come to be a judge. Someday he will come again and he will be judge. But at the same time, this is not what he was doing at that moment in time. So as you continue and look at this, he does give him some counsel. He does say, hey, look, I'm not going to get in this family squabble. I'm not going to fix what's going on between you and your brother, because he knows that they probably wouldn't listen to him anyway. But he says, I do have some counsel for you. I want you to understand something. Remember, he looks into this man's heart. He knows this man's heart. He knows this man's brother's heart too. He knows everybody's heart. He knows what they're thinking. And this is what they needed to hear. What did he need to hear? He needed to hear when it said in verse number 15, he says, and he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. He said, look, I'm not going to tell you how much you should have, how much you should not have, but what I am going to tell you is beware of covetousness. And he says, because your life is so much more important. You think about it, sometimes there's family squabbles. I've had the privilege of doing a lot of funerals. I had the privilege of being a part of funerals, even being near people's families when they die and things like that. And you know, it's amazing sometimes, not most, but sometimes families squabble over inheritance. Sometimes they fight over inheritance. And that is really sad. And you see in the story here, there was a law that was supposed to happen in Jewish culture. The older brother would get a certain portion of the inheritance. He was supposed to divide it up between the other brothers and the rest of the family. And they were supposed to do all that different stuff. But I've seen money cause a lot of problems. I think what Jesus is saying, hey, look, you got more important things in life than this or that. You want me to disconnect this? Thankfully, can you guys still hear me? There you go. That one didn't do it, but that's okay. That's much better than hearing that. Can you hear that feedback or no? Yeah, no? Some can, some can't. That's wonderful. So I guess you're not supposed to sit up front. Usually we want you to sit up front, but today, but that's okay. So as you look at this and you understand this, when it comes to this passage of Scripture, he's saying there's some things more important. And you think about it. Isn't your family more important than your possessions? And that's what he's saying to them. He says, look, he says, beware of covetousness, because a man's life is more than what he possesses. It's much more than what he possesses. So I want you to think about a couple of things here. Let's keep on going. Verse number 16, we'll read the parable and we'll go back to that, those verses in a second. Verse number 16, so he gives him counsel. He says, beware of covetousness. Then he says, and he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentiful. And he says, and he thought within himself. Now I want you to take notice as we're reading this, how many times you see the word I. And he thought within himself, what shall I do? Because I have no room to bestow my fruits. And he said this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. So he's teaching this man in this group the importance of bewaring and taking heed against covetousness, because covetousness can really ruin a life. Verse 21, and he responds and he says, so is he that layeth up treasures for himself and is not rich toward God. And he draws it to a conclusion. He says, now think about this parable. Think about this man. Does this man ask, what does God want me to do with this? What does God want me to take with the things that I've been bestowed? What does God want me to do with this plentiful harvest? No, he says, I'm going to ask myself and I'm going to figure it out and I'm going to do this and I'm going to say this to my soul and that to my soul. But look what it says in verse number 20. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? He says, you're looking at it from the wrong perspective. You're looking at it from just a temporal perspective. Remember, there will be a day when you stand before God, and as you stand before God, you should be stewarding your life with that day in view. You should be looking forward to the day that you stand before God, either in the judgment seat of Christ or in the judgment seat of those who have lost and without Christ. So let's look at three different things this afternoon or this morning, whatever time it is. The first slide is, and we're talking about, it's talking about the interruption from the crowd. Look what it says in Luke chapter number 12, verse number 13. In Luke 12, 13, the Bible says, "And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother." I want you to consider a second for the interruption by the man. This man's inquiry was an interruption to Jesus' teaching. This was actually, in my mind, a disrespectful thing that he did. He stopped and he disrupted what Jesus was trying to do and what Jesus was trying to teach his disciples something. He comes and he wants people to take notice of him. He doesn't care about what Jesus is teaching. He doesn't care about what Jesus is saying. He doesn't care about learning and growing as Jesus was teaching them the importance of, hey, you need to testify of me before man. You need to make sure that you fear God and not man. He says, no. Hey, I want you to take care of something for me. And we got to remember this, that he was not really interested in the teachings of Christ. What was he interested in? Well, you see in verse number 13 what he's interested in. He says, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. He was interested in self. He was interested in the possessions that he was going to receive. He was interested in silver. And that's when Jesus responds and he talks about the interests of the men. He says, look, I'm not caring about what your teaching is. I don't care about what you're saying. I want you to take care of me. And we got to remember, when we're teaching and preaching the word of God, we're not interested in the things about what we want. It's what God wants for our lives. And this man was coming and saying, hey, look, I'm not getting what I deserve. I want you to be judge. I want you to be ruler. I want you to take care of me, take care of my possessions, take care of the things I deserve, take care of the things that I need. And Jesus says, no, I'm not that type of judge. He says, that's not what I want you to be interested in. So you see the first thing, you see the interruption of the man. Second thing I want you to see is the instruction from the teacher or from the master. The instruction from the master. Look what Jesus was interested in. Look what Jesus was caring about. Look what he says. He says, look, I'm not interested in being your judge, your divider over you. That's temporal things. You take care of those things. The thing that I'm interested in is about your spiritual life. I'm interested in you stewarding your life. This is what the interest of Jesus was. He was telling him in verse 14 and 15, he says, look, take heed and beware. Please take notice. Not just take notice. I want you to be aware of something and I want you to remember something, that there's a danger ahead with covetousness. Now, covetousness is not a sin we hear a lot of preaching and teaching on. It's something that probably all of us have dealt with at one point in time. It's probably something that we should speak on a more regular basis. We like to hear amen when people preach against alcohol and when they preach against homosexuality and when they preach against abortion. And those are things that we should be standing against and fighting against. But one thing we need to remember is that he says, beware of covetousness. Look what it says in Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 5. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil consumptuousness, and covetousness. And then he uses that word covetousness at the end. He says, which is idolatry. He says, if covetousness can become something that is idolatry in your life. Now, when you think of idolatry, you think of somebody out in the deepest, darkest parts of Africa that has man-made some type of statue and they're bowing down to it. But he's saying here that covetousness and the love of things can become an idol in your life and can become something that is dangerous. And that's why he says, take heed. He says, beware. See, Jesus is interested in this. Jesus is interested in him stewarding his life. He says, don't worry about the inheritance. Don't worry about your brother. Instead, make sure in your own heart and in your own life that you're not being a covetous person. Make sure that you have the right perspective when it comes to things. And the only way we're going to steward this gift that God's given us, this gift of life, these moments and these years here on this earth, is when we realize the importance of him and what he desires for us. But so often, what do? We worry about things. We worry about getting the next thing, the best thing, the greatest things. And I'm not saying, I'm not preaching against things. It's wonderful if God's giving you an opportunity to have nice things. But what does it say down here at the end of verse number 21? It says, so that he that layeth up treasures for himself and is not rich toward God. He calls the farmer in the parable, we're getting ready to say, a fool. And why is he a fool? It's because he does not consider God, he does not consider eternity, and he does not consider what's going to happen in eternity. And as he does that, God says, that man is a fool because of the fact that he did not consult with God with his possessions. Instead, he consulted within himself. And then he said that next phrase, and which is kind of interesting. He says, and is not rich toward God. He's saying, hey, it's nothing wrong with having that plentiful harvest. God had enabled his lands to be able to get that and do that. He had something that God had provided to him through much hard work and through the seed. But he says he was a fool because of the fact he did not steward it right. He was a fool because he was rich toward himself. He was rich toward his possessions. He had laid up much for himself, but he forgot all about God. So we see the man's interruption. The man was interested in getting the inheritance he deserved. And I'm not saying that you should not be thankful for an inheritance that maybe someone left you, and make sure that you have the opportunity to get, in a sense, the things that are coming to you. You don't have to let people take advantage of you. But what Jesus is saying here, he says, hey, look, make sure you beware of covetousness. Take heed and beware of covetousness, because covetousness will cause you to become, it says, an idol worshiper. So I want you to think of a couple of things. Look at the interest of the farmer. Look at the interest of the farmer. When you look at verse number 16, he speaks this very famous parable, the ground of a certain rich man. So the man was already wealthy, brought forth plentiful, which means that he had a bumper crop. He had a huge crop. And he thought within himself. Now, once again, he's speaking to himself. He did not ask God. He does not ask God's opinion. He does not give God in the equation. So he thinks within himself. And when we think within ourselves, our first reaction should be, what does God want me to do with this? But he does not do that. What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And you see the word I again in verse number 17. Verse 18, it gets a lot worse. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there I will bestow all my fruits and my goods. You say, Pastor, that really doesn't sound that bad. That really doesn't sound that horrible. But what does Jesus call this man in verse number 20? He refers to him as a fool. Why is that? Because there's nothing wrong with having a plentiful harvest. The problem is when you receive the gift, or when you receive something wonderful and you receive something great, the response should be, God, what is it that you want me to do with this? Because remember, the gifts that we have, they come from God. They come from God providing it through other people. And you say, Lord, what is it you want me to do? And if the Lord said, hey, look, you have a bountiful harvest. It's going to be wise for you to pull down those barns and build greater ones so you can store that up, so you can be a blessing to a lot of people. If that's what God would have said, then wonderful, then great, then fantastic. But that's not what this man does. This man thinks in himself, and he says, this I will do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will bestow all my fruits and my goods. And then he says in verse number 19, I will say to my soul, realizing that there is another part of him, it's just not here in this world. He says, soul, thou hast much goods, lay up for many years, take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. And that's what many people do today. They think their life is consisting of the opportunity of being eat, drink, and be merry. That's all life is about. But that's not the reason why God gave us life. That is not the reason why God saved us. That's not the reason why God, he says, here, I'm giving you this gift of life. And then as a Christian, when you become and receive the gift of eternal life, he says, you've been bought with a price. Now, take this life I've given you after you've been saved. Now, glorify your life. Take your life and glorify me with it. He says, it's not your life anymore. It's God's life. And now I want you to take your life and glorify, take your body, glorify me with your body and with your life. That's what stewarding life is referring to. That's what he's saying here. Jesus gives this parable and he says, this farmer missed it. They missed the opportunity here. And he only cared about what he thought. But then you see in verse number 20, what really matters is what God thinks. So you see the interruption from the crowd. You see the instructions from the master. And then you see the inescapable truth for all of us. As much as we plan, as much as we purpose, as much as we have in our hearts and life, what we're going to do, there's an inescapable truth. It only matters what God thinks. Look what it says in verse number 20. But God. It's a wonderful Bible study. If you ever went through the Bible and looked at just those two words, but God, man, there are so many verses about but God. But God commended his love toward us. But God, over and over, but God. It means that God can make all the difference. Man can make all the plans that they want to. Man can build up as many barns as he wants to and have as much wealth and as much riches, and you have all your plans laid out. But God is the one that really counts. But God. See, we need to put God in our thinking to begin with. We need to consider how God would feel and what God would want us to do. That this life is a gift from God, and what God desires us to do with his gift. And he says, but God said unto him, thou fool. Now, I don't think many of us like to be called a fool. Now, sometimes I've been called names in my life, and when I consider the person calling me that, it doesn't really bother me sometimes. If it's someone who is acting foolish or someone who's acting ungodly, and they say that we're foolish, and they say this, and they say that, you know, it doesn't bother us as much. But when God Almighty says that you're being foolish, there's something you need to stand and take up and take heed and beware of. He says, thou fool, he says, this night thy soul shall be required thee. He said, you made all these plans, or you're going to die tonight. So what's all those possessions you were so worried about? What's all those things you griped and you complained about? And remember, who's he talking to? He's talking to that man. He's talking to that crowd. He says, beware and take heed of covetousness. And he's saying, look, don't be foolish about the things of this world. If you're going to steward this life and steward this gift that God's given you, you cannot make it about possessions. You need to take heed and beware of covetousness, because you will never be satisfied with silver and gold. In Ecclesiastes chapter number 5, it talks about how a person, even though they receive silver and gold, they're never going to be satisfied with it. They're always going to be more. And it's that desire, that's that covetousness, that you always want more and you always want more. And the inescapable truth for all of us is that we will all die someday. And that's what God's reminding this man. He says, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required. And of thee, whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? He says, what are you going to do with all that stuff? All those barns, all those things? You can't take it with you. I was talking to Mr. Layton on Thursday night, and Mr. Layton wants to be here today, but he said some medicine is on. He was hoping to come, but he said he might not be able to. But me and Mr. Steve was out visiting him, and he said that someone told him one time about possessions and saving and all this other things, and he said to the man, he says, I've never seen a Hertz truck being pulled by a what's the word when the dead person's in there? Hearse, there it is. So, sorry, my mind is, this thing up here is bothering me. The Hertz never pulling a U-Haul truck. He says, you guys can't take it with you. You can't take it with you. And that's the whole point of what is being said here. He says, okay, you put so much emphasis on the things of this world, and you put up so much, as said in verse 21. So he that layeth up treasure for himself, him that sits there and lays up treasure upon treasure upon treasure, and then is not rich toward God. In your life, are you stewarding this life that God's given you? This gift that God's giving you. This gift that God says, I want you to have this. There's an inescapable truth. We will all die someday. I know you're going to say, well, what about the rapture? I understand that. Unless Jesus comes and takes us out, the Bible says there's a point unto man once to die. It's a point unto, you will all die. We will all die someday. Someday we will die and go, unless the rapture comes and God takes his church home. Secondly, we all stand before God someday. And that's what he's telling this group. He's telling this man, look, don't be so worried about the possessions of this world. Consider what's going to happen in eternity. Are you considering what's going to happen in eternity? Are you considering what's going to happen to you after you die? Have you ever given thought to the fact that someday you will be the one laying in the casket, that your body is dead and your soul will be somewhere forever? And that's what Jesus is telling. And he's teaching this man. He's teaching this group. He says, look, you guys are all worked up about these possessions. You want all these things. You give your life, and many times you give of your resources, and you even give of your character just to have possessions. But then you can't take it with you. And you don't even know how long you're going to be here. What a wonderful story. And I'm glad that Jesus uses stories, because somebody like me that's kind of dumb, the story makes it come to life. I could have heard that sermon and said, take heed and beware of covetousness. You know what? That makes sense. We need to beware of covetousness. But then he goes and he tells us a story saying, this is a man that was covetous. This is a man who did not give any thought for eternity, did not give any thought to the fact that he may die tomorrow, did not give any thought for preparing for eternity and laying up treasures for eternity. And he teaches us such a powerful lesson. And he says, this is the person who lays up much for himself. Once again, I do not believe there's anything wrong with possessions. God's given us the opportunity to enjoy a lot of things. But it says the person who lays up things for himself and is not rich toward God. He's saying it's a person who is not being rich toward God. What does that rich toward God mean? I think that means that we give God first thought. We ask God what he would want us to do with the possessions and the time and the resources he's given us. We let him have first say. You say, well, Pastor, I give a tithe. Well, we learn in the Bible that the tithe is from the Lord, that we pay a tithe. That belongs to God. And you've never heard me preach very much about money and about possessions, but you know what? The Lord preached about it often, and they said, you need to take heed. You need to beware of covetousness. Why? Because covetousness can become something that you actually worship, and it can become an idol in your life. So as we close, think about these few things. Are you planning to meet God someday? So, well, we all have to, yes, but are you planning to do it? We can make preparation. When someone comes to my house, my wife prepares for that. I mean, every part of the house has to be perfectly clean before someone's allowed in the door. That's just the way she is. Now, sometimes people surprise us, and that causes a panic, and not like the house ever really looks bad, but she prepares when someone comes over. When we host something, you know, it's days of cleaning, and you better not mess it up before then. So she does a wonderful job, and she really does. Even me and the boys try to help some, and then she just goes back and fixes whatever we messed up. So she prepares for it. Are you preparing for the day you meet God? So how can you prepare? Well, the Bible even says, prepare to meet thy God in Amos. Because you will stand before him someday. See, this man, he gave no thought, no consideration to the fact that someday he'll stand before God, and God has an interest in his life, and God would have an interest in what he was doing with these possessions. See, Pastor, it's a parable. And he says, that's just an earthly story of the heavenly meeting. That's for sure, because the fact that he could use this man's life in verse number 15, he says, now, Bob, you want your brother to do this and that, and because you care more about this, this, and this. You never give him consideration to God. That would have embarrassed the man. But this, he says, just as a parable, so it opens up to everyone. Do we care more about possessions than the day we meet God? We need to be careful about that. Be careful not to be laying things up for ourselves and not be rich toward God. And like I said, what are the things of God that we should be looking at? Are we planning for the day we meet God? And are we planning for eternity? You think about this world, if we're lucky, you know, you might have 80 years or 90 years or 100 years. And as some people that are 100 might say, well, it's not lucky to live that long because it hurts. But at the same time, you know, we might have 100 years in this world. 100 years. But then we say, are you planning for eternity? Are you laying up treasures? The Bible talks about laying up treasures in heaven, doesn't it? Not here on the earth. And next week, Jesus continues to talk about stewardship in the verses to follow. And we're going to talk about laying up treasures up in heaven and things like that. But are we planning for it? Are we preparing for it? God has given us life. Are we stewarding this life? Because someday we will meet God, and someday what we have done for him is all we will have. So the question is, are you prepared to meet God today? If you died today, do you know for sure that you would go to heaven? You need to steward your life in realizing that God sent his son down the cross to die for us. And he's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. You say, what's repentance? Repentance is saying, God, I see my sin. I know that I'm guilty. I'm repenting of that sin. I'm not trusting in myself. I'm not trusting any other way, but I'm trusting in you. I'm turning and trusting in you and you alone for salvation. And though I believe what Jesus Christ did by dying on the cross, being buried and rose again. And the Bible says that if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, that you can be saved. That's the best thing you can do with your life. Then after that, you steward the time that you have left. This is an inescapable truth. Someday you will stand before God. Either in a judgment of what you've done with the time he's given you as a believer at the judgment seat of Christ, or at the great white throne judgment, where you'll, what will be said is what you've done with Jesus Christ. Did you believe or did you reject? is your name found written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Because he says, those that are not found written are all going to be cast into hell. You didn't steward your life very well, if that's what you've done. This morning, do you know for sure if you die today that you go to heaven? Greatest thing you can do in your life is put your faith and trust in him today. Secondly, as believers, as I know most of the people in the room, I don't believe everybody, but most of the people in the room are saved or on their way to heaven today. Are you preparing for the day you meet God? He said, no, I'm saved the moment. I know that, but are you preparing for eternity? Are you laying up treasures in heaven today? He said, take heed and beware of covetousness. And he continues on and says, for a man's life consists of not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. Your life is so much more important than the possessions that you have. And then he begins to tell that story about that farmer. He was interrupted, but Jesus uses that every interruption as an opportunity to teach and train his disciples. Beware of covetousness. Your life is so much more important than any one thing or any many things. There's so much more to your life than that. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet with heads bowed and eyes closed for a time of invitation. If you're here,